From Puebla, it's Austin, Texas. This is Stacker News Live!
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another exciting episode of Stacker News Live. My name is Carl with BMF Keon. Yeah. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Wow, it's the holidays.
Yeah. Thank God.
It's right after. I think this is called Boxing Day.
You said that earlier. I still don't know what that means.
I learned that like a few years ago.
I still have no idea
where what that means. I was like online probably and someone said it's Boxing Day and I'm like, what? And I looked it up. I think it has something to do with either you're like boxing all of your stuff up, like putting away the decorations is my recollection of what it means. I should have probably looked it up before I started talking about it. Or it has something to do with like returns. Returning stuff that you got as presents that you don't want, or it has something to do with a lot of the stores, I think, are like they're getting rid of their decorations and they're like selling things for cheap that didn't sell before the holiday. So it could be one of those three things.
Yeah.
And I actually don't know which it is, but it's not something we really do here in the United States. I think it's like bigger in the UK.
Yeah, keep stalling.
But we're here. We're Americans, so we, you know, but we have boxes too. So I don't know why that would be much different.
What'd you do this week?
What did I do this week? I finally got some of my office set up.
Oh, I saw that you put the light on.
Oh yeah, I hung up the light. I haven't turned it on yet, but that should be on. At the last place, I was forbidden. From
whoa, calling him out, buddy.
Yeah, that's right. Wow, Mr.
Now you're calling him out.
The Littlefield family sent me a verbal cease.
This is not Carr saying this.
The Littlefield family at the Littlefield building sent me a verbal cease and desist through various channels and told me I could not light up my Stacker News sign in the window because it's a historical building. And
you know they're going to clip this and they're going to send it to...
I think they just don't like Bitcoin.
They're going to send it to the people that...
Come at me, Mr. Littlefield.
Well, they're not going to send it to them. They're going to send it to people that we know. So it's all good.
I don't think anyone's going to send it to anyone.
They do. They do. They sure do. It always gets back to me.
Yeah, but now I get to keep my sign on all the time and then cause glare in the eyes of people who enter and exit Pleb Lab.
It was funny though when you did do that, like almost immediately, I won't say, man, I feel like, should I share this story? Yeah, who cares? Somebody who was in the building with us, I won't say who, please don't say who, Keon.
Okay.
You're totally gonna say who, don't say who. There's somebody in the building with us of notoriety was like, did they let Keon put up the sign? And I was like,
is it Michael Saylor that you're talking about?
Just let me finish the story.
All right.
And I was like, I mean, I don't know. Like, I think you just put it up. Like, I don't think it's a big deal. Like, it's just a sign. And then almost immediately, like 2 weeks later or like a week later, that's when that email came through. So.
Oh, dude, you ratted me out.
No, I think it was that person. I think it was that person.
That's when I was suspicious. Like, did Mr. Littlefield really say something about my sign?
I think it was that person.
Yeah, I think it was just they were like, you know what? We don't have want you to have a sign.
But who? I mean, at the end of the day, like, yeah, it doesn't matter. Like, doesn't matter. Anyway.
Well, I get to have my sign on now, and so
No one sees it though. You have to come in to Brazos and then
it's a secret sign, bro.
It's a secret
sign. But it's always on.
Hey, the people that go to the Italian restaurant will see it though. There's that.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll be all high on pesto. See my sign.
If you've never seen this crazy show before, it's called Stacker News Live. We cover the name of the site again? I always forget. 24-hour party club or something. I don't know what it's called. It used to be called the Front Page of Bitcoin.
Strip club on the internet.
There you go. Check out the YouTube. We have the last week's Most popular clip was Chinese billionaires are having dozens of babies. That was. Did you see what Wumble made with this clip? Do you see that right there?
Yeah.
It's hilarious, dude.
Well, those are like not Asian kids. Are they mixed?
No, that was the whole point of the video, was that it wasn't like they were Chinese billionaires that were using American surrogates or women's, wait, yeah, surrogates to impregnate.
Yeah, but there's,
I think, and then Bumble made this amazing cover art for it.
The kids are supposed to be genetically Chinese still.
Well, I mean, there's kind of well, how do you say that? There's kind of a slant there, right? A little bit?
Slant.
I mean, right? Can you tell? I feel like Wumbo chose the right.
I think some babies. I mean, maybe some of them look maybe possibly mixed, but the white, like white with blue eyes on the right, is definitely not.
I mean, he probably used AI to generate like babies, right? For the cover art.
No, those are probably real babies, dude.
Anyways, it had the most views. Check it out if you're interested in Chinese surrogacy. And then also check out the other videos. And don't forget to unsubscribe. We have too many people that are subscribing to this thing, and it's we don't want that. The next thing we're gonna jump into the top three stories of the week. The number three top story is Squatting Amsterdam, episode 3, The Mafia Strikes Back. This is from Bitcoin Graffiti, 9 comments, 11,000 sats. Keon, is this the same post from last week?
No, this is the third episode. I think last week we covered the second episode of the post, but the third episode covers after they had moved in already. I think it was the day after, maybe the week after they had moved in. One of their neighbors like knocked on their door and handed them a DVD of his life story. I guess he was covered by a local news station, and he survived Nazi prison camps. And I think was the only one in his family who ended up living, but he went on to be a bodybuilder in late age. And I guess he was at the time where they met him as a neighbor, he was around 80. So he shared that story here. He also shared how they ended up getting kicked out eventually. I guess the flat that they had moved into or were squatting in was owned by criminals, and their research that they knew before they squatted in it, they knew that it was owned by criminals and was, like, I guess historically used to launder money. But they still proceeded anyway. And I guess one morning they woke up. They were woken up by someone, I guess knocking on their door or trying to come in. And it was a work crew, a large work crew, a bunch of people in like coveralls. And they were trying to get them out. They were threatening to break down the door and force them out. And I guess the squatter network is like a thing. And they, I guess, posted on the wall inside the house, you have a bunch of phone numbers you call depending on the situation that arises. And in the case where someone is attempting to forcibly remove you from your squat, you call, there's a number you call. And so they called that number, and I think within short order, 12 other squatters in the area, they biked over to the flat and basically presented an opposite force to the people who were threatening to force them out. And then they basically shooed the people, like the brutes who came to get them out, and they continued to live there. And then he said, like, one of the mistakes that they made was there was an apartment below them that was also unoccupied, that they were told by the squatting organization in Amsterdam that they should also occupy that flat below. But I guess that flat had not been empty for long enough, and they couldn't make a legal claim on it. And so they were afraid to occupy it. And so they didn't. And I guess that's eventually how they ended up losing that flat, was that they started renovating the flat below them, and then they ended up piercing through the floor into their flat. And I guess they also were able to get the people who were trying to get them out were able to get a permit for remodeling that flat that also included the flat that they were occupying. And I think they had lawyers tell them that they would no longer be able to legally squat there soon once the permit, I guess, allowed them to begin renovating. And so they went on to squat another place that we haven't, I guess that's episode 4, but this is episode 3 is like the beginning of the first part of the squatting journey.
Wow. Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. This, interesting. How many episodes are there going to be? Did he say, or?
Well, he doesn't know. I think he's writing them as
he goes along.
Yeah.
Wow.
But we haven't had one in about a week.
Oh, wow. So we'll get the next one next week.
Hopefully.
So, I'm loving them. So stay tuned. It looks like Tom comment was from Signal 312. He said, thanks for the episode. Fascinating. At some point, it would be interesting to learn how your politics evolved. If they did, I guess I'm assuming that. He says, I was definitely socialist leaning when I was younger. Over the years, I shifted more libertarian due to my experience as an entrepreneur and life in general. Many folks in the squatting movement are idealists. And I didn't adhere to much of their philosophies. He said, I was a very soft squatter. What does that mean? And clearly a tourist.
I think not like ideologically squatting. Like
interesting.
Yeah, more of a hobby maybe.
As a hobby squatter.
Yeah, didn't believe in squatting as like a solution to the world's problems. Was just found it cool, maybe.
Yeah. I wonder, do you think Darthcoin is squatting out there in the woods? Do you think that's a form of squatting?
I would guess he probably purchased a parcel of land. I would guess that's what he did.
Yeah, because he wouldn't be soft squatting. He'd be hard squatting, right? Because he's technically building a whole citadel.
Yeah, I would guess that someone owns that land. And I would guess it's not public land.
Do people do that with like woods? Like, you know.
I think you can, yeah.
Because like homeless people do that here in Austin in the woods, basically.
They do that in the woods? I've never been out in the woods here to see that, but I know homeless people take up camp in a variety of
behind
places.
What's the name of that? Not the Walmart, but there's like a Sam's Club down South Austin. And behind that, there's like some woods. There's like a homeless camp, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of like The Village, you know, like the movie The Village, where they just like people don't know what year it is. It's just like could be the 1800s back there. You just don't know.
You think some of these homeless people are like Renaissance people? I mean,
in the movie, there's like this barbed wire. They didn't even know how far, like the kids didn't know. They were just raised there, you know?
Yeah. I think they were told there were like scary things on the outside and they needed to stay inside.
Their parents were a bunch of socialists or whatever, or soft squat. Or no, those were hard squatters, I guess.
I don't think those were squatters though. I think they
totally. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, are they called squatters if they're in the woods? Like,
I don't think just being in the woods makes you a squatter. I think squatting is you are occupying property that's owned by someone else and have like a.
But the woods don't count.
If it's property owned by someone else, it does.
In that movie, I think it was owned by the state. I think.
I don't think that's squatting if it's public land that you're on. I think it's something else. It's. I don't know.
Somebody should look into that. Cool. The number 2 top story this week is introducing Pigeon, a privacy first Noster scheduler. This is from Mavi Lab, December 20th, 26 comments, 20K boost, 2,269 sets. Keon, what's this?
Yeah, Pigeon looks like a buffer like tool. If people are familiar with buffer, you can use it to schedule posts, I think, on X and other platforms. Maybe that's old. I don't know if they do that anymore, but this is like that for Noster. You get to schedule posts in advance. What's cool is you can also schedule DMs. But yeah, it looks like that is mostly what it's doing. And it's doing it via DVM, which are, what are these? Data vending machines is, I think, what the name of that spec that allows you to do that, where you can host a service and people can discover it and pay you for using it. And that's most of what there is there. So you can run your own DVM that for Pigeon that does this for you, or you can use other pigeons that other people have and schedule your posts. So it looks pretty nifty.
Is it just on Noster, or is it just for other platforms, or
I think this is specifically for Noster.
Okay, so it's just for Noster.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Cool.
Yeah.
Check it out here, pigeon.lol. Then you just log in with Noster, and then you need a browser extension or a bunker or just YOLO your private key. That seems to be the thing.
Or use Froster.
Can you use Froster on this?
I think they have a remote signer.
You can use Froster. Looks like I'm getting a nod.
Something Froster specific?
Yeah, I mean, the library's out there. They could do it, but they would have to build it in.
Okay.
All right. So right here, ladies and gentlemen, Pigeon, if you're listening, which you likely are because this got to you.
Log in with Froster. You need a login
right there that says probably before Bunker, ideally. You should put one that says.
What's the Froster logo?
Should you do log in with Froster?
You know what? Actually, if they support NIT46,
yeah.
You could log in with Froster.
Yeah.
Okay. And you don't even need to know. Okay. They support NIT46.
Okay. Yeah. Then you can use it with Froster.
Okay. Yeah, well, should with login with Bunker there, you should be able to.
Yeah, so I guess it works with Froster, according to what Mr. Froster says over there. Either way, log in with Froster. Sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
The next top story, the final top story is distributed charge EV now available for public testing. This is from Andy. December 19th, 100K boost, baby, 11,500 sats. Keon, who's Andy?
Yeah, so Andy is a man who has been working on providing car charging that you can pay for with Lightning.
Wow, that's
cool. And I recall Andy posting on Stacker News about this like back in early Stacker News days. And it's really cool to watch the evolution, but this is like the latest stage of it where he has it. You can actually go and charge a car by paying with Lightning now. I think it's a location in Ohio. I forget exactly where he's located or where this is located. But really cool. There was like a intermediate stage where you had to have something installed in the car, but like part of this latest release is that you don't need something installed in the car, and that uses a kind of a bond system to work now, where you pay up front and it's held in sort of a bond, and then you can come back and pay the exact amount later. Sort of like when you go into a gas station, you give them a 20 and then you got to go back and get your change. It's kind of like that situation now. So auto pay is the version that requires you have something installed in your car, and manual pay is the version I just described. And it's located where? Okay. Oh, Kentucky. Okay. Covington, Kentucky. And yeah, and you can go and use it, but really, I think really cool. And it's, I think the whole, why it's called distributed charge is I think what Andy envisions is that, you know, relatively ordinary people, not Elon Musk and his superchargers, but relatively ordinary people, they can use distributed charges like systems and software and stuff to sell their electricity to other people who want to charge their cars. Have a distributed supercharging network, I think is what I would imagine the vision is for this.
Yeah.
Which would be really cool.
I actually talked to Andy this week. I was telling you about him. I just wanted to kind of know how the whole payment flow worked. And yeah, it's exactly like you said. I guess he had tried for, gone through a lot of different iterations. And then he was telling me that he eventually just came to this iteration where you have to pay once and then you pay again once the charge is completely finished. So that was the final outcome that it came to. The other thing that he told me was interesting was that he's looking for, like, to make this part right here isn't too expensive, but it does take time to do it, and then you have to put it together and all that kind of stuff. But there is one before. I want to show it here because he does have one before where it showed initially what it looked like. Yeah, so he got it from all this. This is what it looked like before. I don't know if you can see that back there. But that's what it looked like before he got it down to that little module, which I think is amazing for him to like make that jump from what, like, because I met him in like 22. I think we met him in 22. And for him to make that jump from there to here is pretty phenomenal, man. So I think it's just amazing. It's just his tenacity to keep doing it. And I know he's always at TabConf every year with the bicycle and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, there it goes right there. And from what he was telling me, it works with level 2 chargers. The new one that he has is a level 2 charger. Apparently, I didn't even know there was a difference between a level 1 charger and a level 2 charger. And then like some of the other ones, there's like a level 3 charger.
That's like the higher the level, the faster it charges.
Yeah, that's like the fastest charger. But the level 2 chargers are like the ones that you could theoretically do like in a day, a full charge in like 7 hours or 8 hours, whatever. And then level 1 charger is like the ones you have at home.
Okay.
But it's fascinating. I think he's definitely on to something. It's really early, but it's really exciting at the same time. Right. And like, this is a guy who's like, how would you say? Like, if there's a guy, and I don't know, for me personally, like, I met a lot of people in the Bitcoin space, like a lot of people, a lot of developers too, a lot of founders. And I would say he's like the only one that I've ever met that's trying to wield electricity with lightning. And to me, that's like pretty freaking cool. Like, he's like literally trying to, he's like Tesla. He's like literally trying to wield electricity.
Well, you met Austin, didn't you, from Sonota?
Yeah, but like this is, for me, this is like a little bit different. Because this is like, you know, when he's doing all this stuff, he could get shocked. You know, do you know what I mean? Like, he was telling me about the wiring that he does. So like, let me go back. Where is it at here? I think it's here, like the wiring that he was doing. So this is the other wiring. But it just goes to show that like all this stuff that he had to learn, Keon, just to get it. Because he's not, from what he was telling me, he this wasn't like, you know, he works at Lightning Labs. So like, this wasn't like his thing, like his.
I thought he was an electrical engineer by training.
No. Oh, wasn't? I didn't know that. But so for me, I was just, it's just fascinating to see somebody actually trying to, you know, harness electricity like that and then, you know, use it with lightning. It's just really cool. It's just cool, man. I don't know how to say it.
No, it is really cool. I think anywhere where Bitcoin becomes something physical is way cooler than, it ordinarily is, because it's like otherwise so digital and abstract.
Yeah, this is stuff. It's like when the guys made the lightning door. And blah, blah, like, it's kind of like that. It's just like seeing it in the physical world. Bitcoin is just, I feel like that's the final destination for Bitcoin.
It impresses people in a way that software on the screen does not.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, great post. Looking forward to him going on tour this year to show off a lot of this stuff. Cool. That's all the top stories this week on Stacker News Live. We're going to jump into, let's keep it going, lightning. Let's jump into Wumble's Picks. Wumble's Picks. This is a segment by Wumble, and it's called Wumble's Picks. Wumble had this pick, lightning nodes, lightning network nodes count and capacity by country. This was released by Mempool. Did you see this?
Yeah, this is from their Mempool's dashboard, mempool.space's dashboard of their Lightning dashboard. I think they added this Lightning stuff about a year ago or so. But you can look at, we have a pie chart here where you can see where all the IPs of all of these nodes are. The majority of them, or not the majority, but many of them, a large share, 29%, are in the United States. And then followed up by China, Germany, Canada, France.
A lot in China.
Yeah, actually, that is pretty interesting. I wonder, that could just be where data centers are located and might not be, run by people who are of Chinese descent or like whatever.
Germany makes sense. So does the Netherlands, France, even Canada. I'm surprised Italy's not higher.
Yeah, and it's important to note we also don't have data on where Tor nodes are located, obviously, because they don't have an IP address, so we can't do any like indirect geolocation of those nodes. So
it even shows the capacity there. I don't know if you see that on the
right side. Yeah. And so these are nodes that are, I don't know. I guess this could also cover, this probably doesn't cover private nodes. Private channel capacity.
Because where's that Salvador at?
Capacity is not known.
Oh, there it goes. They have four nodes?
No, that can't be right. Most of them must be Tor nodes. Or it's also, you know, I don't. You would, if you were doing like a like data analysis on this, you would go to anyone who is attempting to collect this data and then compare them all because they likely all have some kind of anomalies or anomaly that another one might not.
Interesting.
So I wouldn't trust any one particular dashboard, at least to be super precise.
He did have some questions on this, so let me bring up the questions for you. His first question that Wumble had is, will there be more or less capacity a year from now?
Yeah. I would guess more. If you look, if we go back to mempool.space and we click on the Lightning tab at the Lightning button with the arrow on it there, we go to capacity, Lightning Network capacity. Yeah, we can see we recently hit an all-time high. And so that's garnered a bunch of interest, but it happened like shortly after Square made their announcement where they are allowing merchants to turn on receiving Bitcoin receiving for, and you know, at their terminals. And so capacity jumped up. And so, you know, you could maybe say that trend is expected to continue, but you could also say, maybe it'll be like we've seen in surges in Lightning capacity in the past, where eventually they correct, where you have kind of people who deploy capital inefficiently come online, and then they eventually realize they have a bunch of Bitcoin and hot wallets that's occupying channels that aren't being used, and they begin to use it more efficiently. So that would be a reason to expect it to go down. But if Lightning transactions are going to increase and continue to increase, is what I think that's what the market is suggesting here, is that they expect Square turning on these Lightning terminals is going to lead to more Lightning usage. And these are people coming online who want to take advantage of that. And so we had a nice, increase there. I would expect it goes up. That would be my guess. It's just a guess. Another reason it might go down is if, like, or it might go up is that Bitcoin price decreases a lot. And then, you know, because unit of account at Square merchants is denominated in dollars, you would need more Bitcoin to service all of those merchants rather than less if the exchange rate decreases. Yeah. I think that's my guess about.
It's interesting that the
where it goes.
It almost follows a lot of things that we're seeing here in the space as far as like the Lightning nodes. As far as and it would be cool to see like correlation with just in every aspect of I'm just thinking right now of a lot of things all at once.
Yeah, but it's interesting to note that in this graph we're looking at, the number of channels on the network, the public channels at least, decreased quite a bit over the last few years, but capacity plateaued. So it's almost like node runners were consolidating from, you know, a little bit of Bitcoin in many channels to a lot of Bitcoin in a few channels.
Do you think there's just more private channels, or do you think it's just more consolidation happening?
I think it's probably a lot of it is consolidation that we're seeing in this chart, I think. And then also, I think there's probably more private channels than there are public channels.
Yeah, I would think so too.
And that might have increased quite a bit. But
the other question that he had was, what was the other question? Wumble. Will there be more or less visible nodes a year from now, or nodes a year from now? It looks like he's saying more or less visible nodes Let me go back to here.
You would hope there'd be more, but I would guess there will be more. I don't know. I don't think it'll go up by a lot. I was looking at the River Lightning report from, I think, a year or two ago, and Lightning usage is something like there's one node runner for every 8 custodial wallet users or something like that.
Wait, say that again. There's one node runner?
Yeah, there's like one person who is using non-custodial Lightning for every 8 people who is using a custodial wallet. Mm. And so even if Lightning usage 10x, that suggests like if Lightning usage 10x's, then we have it's a relatively modest bump in non-custodial or the absolute number of nodes that are being run or non-custodial Lightning users. I would expect though it does go up. I think we've gone, the sentiment on Lightning is, it feels like it is extremely bearish and has been for the last few years. And I think that's more a symptom of
a lot of things. It's
mostly fashion. I think it became Lightning became unfashionable. And no one really talked about it for a long time. And now I think,
hey, how's it going? Yeah, come in. Yeah.
What's going? Hey, how's it going?
My name's Phil. This is Jeremy. We're Bitcoiners.
Hi, Phil.
Hey, what's going on?
We heard there were people here.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're live right now. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Feel free. I mean, if you want to hang out, feel free to come in. Grab a seat anywhere. You see, that's Austin back there. Sure, we're just recording. Yeah, yeah.
Sorry to interrupt.
No, you're fine. No, you're fine. Yeah, feel free to grab a seat anywhere. There's some drinks in the fridge and some beers. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what were you saying about the Lightning nodes you were saying?
Oh, I was just saying that I don't... Oh, no, we were talking about sentiment around Lightning has been kind of bearish. I think that's kind of flipping around. So, you know, maybe that changes how many plebs run nodes. At some point, there was a huge push to have more people running Bitcoin nodes and Lightning nodes. Seems like that has died out, and everyone's just talking about treasury companies.
So I think what's going to happen, just for me, like talking to people, I think at some point there's going to be some new sort of device that will be connected to like a BitAx, and then I think that will get more plebs to run nodes again. And I don't know anything, but I would imagine we're going to see like a BitAx type of related node of a sort that does both, and I think that will get people to come in. Personally, because I would buy that in a second. And I think that's what you needed. You need to get the plebs to.
Why would you buy a node if it's attached to a BitAx and not?
But I think if you get the price point right, I think you get the price, because there's really no incentive to run a node.
Why would there be an incentive to run a node?
Because if you have the lottery mining that's going on with that, with the BitAx.
But you don't need to run a node to do.
Well, I mean, like right now, we're running that lottery miner over there that's just like running the BitAx, right? It's just like running. So to me, that seems like the obvious entry point. If you're trying to just get like trying to get more nodes online, is just like figure out a way to do it with the BitAx.
I mean, I get leveraging BitAx as like marketing and, you know, stuff to sell nodes, but I don't think it doesn't seem to make much sense that you need one or the other, you know?
I don't know. I feel like that's the entry point, but I could be wrong. We'll see.
All right. It could be, you know, it could be like chicken and waffles. And I'm like, why would you have both together? And Carr's like, I'm going to start a chicken waffle.
Oh, it's not me. I'm just from what I've heard, you know, I think it's going to come to fruition at some point. Let's jump into let's keep it going. Let's go into more. Let's jump into some more stuff real quick. So Zeus just launched its version 0.12. I don't know if you saw this from Evan. He just launched this on the 22nd. Big update. He has Nostr Wallet Connect. And then I think this is the really coolest thing right here. Did you see this? Swift Sweep support? You can now sweep funds from an open dime, making Zeus a great companion and wallet to recommend for when you dish out those wedding and birthday presents. Did you see this part?
I did not see that.
I think that's really cool.
It is cool.
And then there's some other stuff, battery saver warning, bug fixes. And yeah, he's just on a roll, man. He's just on a roll.
Keep shipping.
And then the next one I wanted to bring up was, where is it at? Let's talk about this one. So this was from Danny Abreeze. He shared Roy's Stablecoins Evolution, Not a Revolution. I don't know if you read through this at all.
I haven't had a chance yet.
So I read through it. He basically just kind of talks through why stablecoins have become a thing in the Bitcoin ecosystem and talks about why they are just infrastructure. It's a lot of stuff we already know, we talk about in the lab, and how, you know, it's going to be, I think he said it's like a $1.9, $2 trillion market by 2030. I think that's from Citibank or Citigroup. He then talks about how, you know, there's just so many places around the world that need a stable current, that need a stable coin to move to hold its value. I think this is all the stuff that we know. You're seeing it in Africa really take off and in Latin America really take off. He then talks about how that over the long term, stable coins won't win because there's just so much friction attached to them. Whether that's whether that's coming from governments or from jurisdictions or regulation or whatever that's going to be in America, it's different than the EU and vice versa. And then he talks about like what that means for the future of Bitcoin and how he sees it playing out. It's kind of what we were talking about earlier when I was explaining it with like the whole AI thing. And I'm starting to kind of go on this trend now because I'm becoming more open to stablecoins. Because before, I think I was definitely on the other side of the fence, just not with it, wanted them to die. And now I'm actually, after reading through this and being a little bit more pragmatic about it and being more realist about it and realizing that like this is where things are going. They're going to charge like a 2-3% fee on this kind of stuff. And Bitcoin's just going to be able to be, you know, in-game credits for the internet and continue to be that. And it's only going to be a pain in the ass whenever you have to go from like Bitcoin to a stable coin, because there's probably going to be some sort of fee associated with that and some sort of doxing or AML or KYC. And then it becomes, yeah, like he says here, it's easier to win the race without hurdles. So he thinks overall, potentially where we can get to a point where people will just opt out of having the AML, the KYC, the friction, the 2%, 3%, whatever that is. And they will just go straight to wanting to receive Bitcoin, because as you know, the tooling will get better, the use cases will get better, it will just get out there, far more easier to implement, APIs, all that sort of thing. So that was a great article. Just want to share it. Do you got any thoughts on Roy and his... I know you didn't read it, but do you have any thoughts about stablecoins in general?
I think from what I gather from what you said about this and some of what I skimmed through while you were talking about it is stablecoins are like a fiat solution to a fiat problem, which is where they are less regulated versions, while still being regulated, less regulated versions of what banks provide. And so they allow people to get access to something like a U.S. dollar in a U.S. bank account without having to have a U.S. bank account. And that has utility because a lot of people want to interact with U.S. services that require U.S. dollars. So I get that. That sounds like the point he's making. And that eventually the utility of that will be exhausted. There are only so many people that want a less regulated bank account, more or less. I think, you know, it's like a baby step to something like Bitcoin. It's going to familiarize people with the responsibility required to hold your own money, perhaps. And then maybe Bitcoin can come in and play a role.
I think also it gives us time to kind of build everything out. And then it also, you know, I think over time people will just realize just the value of paying for things will just go higher and higher and higher for something like a stable coin. And then it the value for sats will continue to go lower and lower and lower. And people will realize that they'll just much prefer to opt in to get a Bitcoin payment instead. And I think that, and then you'll also just see people, you know, like we saw with Cash App, just opt in to allow, you'll see more companies just accept Bitcoin as payment and more people accept Bitcoin as payment. I think that'll just happen over the long term, especially by the time we get to 2030 or 2035 or whatever.
Yeah. I also want to say that I'm not necessarily optimistic about this. I don't think it necessarily leads to more Bitcoin adoption. I think there's some possibility that what ends up happening instead is this gets like more normalized and people still don't realize the value of Bitcoin for whatever reason or don't want to use it, or maybe they're more like rational reasons why Bitcoin stays a store of value, not a medium of exchange or whatever. But I don't think we should be assisting stable coins doing this kind of thing. There's a possibility that stable coins eclipse Bitcoin entirely to the point where Bitcoin never becomes an option for people, or it becomes somehow invisible to them, effectively not an option for them. And so there is some risk there. Maybe CBDC somehow leapfrog.
Yeah, 100%. I'm right there with you. I don't think Roy is not, and I don't want to speak for Roy, but I don't think, you know, Breeze and Roy are like assisting them. But I do think, obviously, like Tether since like 2013 has been trying to build this market, and on a lot of other different blockchains besides Bitcoin. Bitcoin was the last one to bend the knee to that, but I do think that, you know, it's here regardless, and it's infrastructure that Circle has already built out over the course of like 7 years or whatever, or whatever whenever they started with their stablecoin. I think I only see two things how this kind of plays out. Like I see the totalitarian state where the, you know, CBDC comes, and it's probably going to be from like AI stuff, honestly. Like it's just going to be a total AI stablecoin. Like you can totally see all these different like, just imagine like what's his name, Jerome Powell, but as a bot, like an AI agent, like running the economy of the world just like with stable coins. So I could totally see that. But I still think, like, as far as like Bitcoin, I think it's just going to be able to dominate in its own frictionless, decentralized nature. And I think that's what he's hitting with this piece. It's just like, it's just kind of, you're playing in its own, it's playing in its own playground, basically. And it was born here. Like it's kind of like the Bane thing, right? It's like, I was born in the dock. So
yeah, I think, kind of like that, you know, I want to believe that too, that Bitcoin will eventually win out. It just confirms my own biases. So I'm skeptical of predicting the future will turn out exactly how I want it to, which is where Bitcoin wins.
I was totally like you at the beginning of the year, 100% like it. This made me feel a lot better. And I'm not 100% better, but it's at least I'm a little bit more optimistic than I was, you know, earlier this month. Which, you know, is good. It's not good to be doomer in your own, the thing that you're working on, right? So this is definitely good timing by Roy. Anyways, I wanted to share that. And then the other thing was, this thing I think is hilarious. So this got shared on Stacker News. This is why I love Stacker News, Keon, is because we can go from really highly intellectual stablecoin, fintech, infrastructure stuff, and even talk about squatting and stuff like that. And then we can go to really hilarious things like why cats always land on their feet. So
hey, it's me, Destin. Welcome back to Smarter.
So this guy,
that cats almost always land on their feet.
He literally went out of his way to figure out why cats land on their feet.
For instance, let me reword this.
And so I'll mute this so people can do it. But like, why do you think cats always land on their feet, Keon?
I don't know. They have something in their brain that forces them to want to be upright.
Wrong. Turns out it's a little bit of everything. It's their tail. It's their eyes, their ears, yeah, he goes into it. He even gets like a high res camera, slow mo camera. I mean, don't try this at home, but this is like a cat that he has. And so he shows you how the cat will like literally land on its feet every single time. And he's lining him in a soft little box, so he's not hurting. But look at the gracefulness of the cat. He helps out right away. And this is a cat that was trained. This is like a stunt cat, basically. No cats were harmed. So he even goes even further. And he's like, hey, we got to do this way better. Then he tilts him like 180 degrees because he thinks that maybe he's just not doing it right. So he tilts him 180 degrees.
I love how the cat is just cool with
being. No, because he's a stunt cat. Like he's a stunt cat. So look, boom. And then you would see like, how did he do that? But look, the cat uses his tail this time to then shift to find his, like, where is the center of gravity? Like, as soon as the cat finds center of gravity, he never stops. His head stays forward there. Do you see how his head stays forward?
Yeah, but I don't.
As soon as the cat finds center of gravity, he just, that's it.
Okay, this video is about how, not why. Okay.
And then he goes into, like, he says this cat, like, he wouldn't try it with this cat because this is not a stunt cat.
It's not trained.
I don't know why he's trying to play. But anyway, yeah, they even have like astronauts doing this.
Well, they have,
and then this young kid tries it with his own cat. This is where it gets kind of dark. But anyways, just wanted to share this because somebody shared this on Stacker News.
They have cats without tails. I wonder if.
Oh yeah, I think he even tested one without tails.
Hmm.
Because there's like different ones, but apparently like once the cat finds this like a baseline, whatever, he looks, see how the eyes, see how his eyes find the ground. And then look,
do you not think you would do that if you were,
no,
you would just stare up at the sky?
I would die. Like I'm not a cat, but look,
what, see how the
cat's never head never changes. The cat's so smart, dude. Anyways, I thought you'd get kicked out of that.
I used to have a cat,
right?
I did it. It disappeared. Maybe someone tried this experiment and it like fell on its head.
Maybe Super tried this experiment.
Yeah, maybe that's what
happened. Anyways, thought that was funny.
Maybe the cat learned about cowboy credits and wow.
But look, he goes into it. I just love stuff like this where it's just like really hard science in the dumbest things. It's like, this is the kind of stuff I love. Anyways, thought this was hilarious. Just wanted to share that. Then we're going to jump into your pick, right? We haven't gotten yours.
Oh, yeah.
Condo life in Singapore.
Yeah. I thought this was fun. I guess Crypto Sensei was renovating his permanent dwelling, his like house. And I guess while that was happening, they gave a metropolitan condo a try, and that's just kind of fun hearing about his experience doing that. But I guess he,
that looks nice.
I guess they enjoyed the amenities quite a bit because they had gyms and pools and stuff that his family could use that were easier to access, and then had nice big windows which you don't get in a normal home, like floor to ceiling windows. I don't know, it was just fun hearing about his experience. And he said it was, he paid a hefty price to be able to try it out. I think he said it was $5,000 a month, which, on a short-term lease in Singapore, I would guess is probably pretty typical, but it suggests maybe the apartment he was staying in is on a year lease, maybe like $3,000 to $4,000 US, which is much different than Austin's prices.
Look at that pool, dude. Pool's humongous.
It is quite a large pool, but it looks like it's serving a lot of apartments.
I don't know how deep it is, though. But look, it looks like it even goes over the edge over there. I wonder if it's one of those edge pools.
Infinity Pool.
Oh, is that what that's called? Infinity Pool?
Yeah. Where it looks like it goes off into infinity.
Look at that.
Yeah. I just thought, I think the only con he mentioned was that it was a little
per month.
A little too tight. And with two kids, it felt like he couldn't really get away.
Surprise. It's $5,000 a month for in Singapore.
Singapore is very expensive. It's always been expensive. Yeah.
Interesting. Cool stuff. That looks fun, dude. They had one of those in the Yucatan. There's like all these kids that were playing in that thing because it was just like a blast. And they have those in Corpus too. I used to love those things. They just squirt out water.
Yeah. I mean, well, people aren't really having kids anymore. So maybe we'll get more places like that for adults. They'll have be like a beer on tap and a,
just running through.
I don't know what else. Pickleball.
Cool stuff. Let's jump into the AI stuff this week. So I wanted to share this because I think it's really fascinating. So Confessions to a Data Lake. This is from Moxie Marlin Spike. So this was a post from Moxie. He used to be a Signal. He said, I found founders. A Signal.
Huh? One of the founders.
One of the founders of Signal. He says, I'm building Confer end-to-end encryption for AI chats. With Confer, your conversations are encrypted so that nobody else can see them. Confer can't read them, train on them, or hand them over because only you have access to them. Sounds like something that a person we know is building.
Yeah, sounds like Maple AI.
What's interesting about this is down here, right here, he says advertising is coming. What is new is that email and social media are interfaces where mostly post completed thoughts. AI assistants are a medium that invite us to post our uncompleted thoughts. When you work through a problem with an AI assistant, you're not just revealing information, you're revealing how you think, your reasoning patterns, your uncertainties, the things you're curious about, but don't know, the gaps in your knowledge, the shape of your mental model. When your advertising comes to AI assistants, they will slowly become orientated around convincing us of something, to buy something, to join something, to identify with something, but they will be armed with total knowledge of your context, your concerns, your hesitations. It will be as if a third party pays your therapist to convince you of something. Thought that was fascinating because this is something that I've been hearing in my ear from Tony for like a year and a half at this point. It's wild. What do you think about that?
I think it is. It is concerning how much information they're going to be able to get from you. But and they can build a better model about you. But then again, if you're doing things like, if they're able to listen to your conversations that you're having with people, or reading your chat messages, or read like not just the AI, but other people, your DMs on platforms, your emails, things like that. I'm not sure this is much more invasive. Actually, it seems like it is par for the course, which sucks.
Yeah,
it seems like we're already all kind of over the invasion of privacy that we already have, and you'd hope this new generation of technology gets rid of that, and it's just like more of it. I think the other thing that might be, a little bit different is that you are interacting with these things in a way that you don't typically, normally we're interacting with another human being, and then they're like harvesting all the data from us interacting with other human beings. But like these systems are communicating with us like a human being would. And so maybe they have more access to changing our behavior than...
The other problem with me is like most otherwise. Of the stuff is like infrastructure at this point, or at least how I treat it. And so it's kind of frustrating because I don't need ads in my email. Like I don't need ads in my AI chat. You know what I mean? Like that's the last thing I need.
Do you pay for OpenAI's chat?
No, but what I'm trying to say is like, It's just frustrating because like this is it's kind of like when Microsoft is dropping ads in their operating system. It's like, who needs ads in their operating system? It's like the last place you need ads. But I get it. It's just unfortunate. Anyways, the other one I wanted to bring up was this one because it kind of goes hand in hand. ChatGPT may start recommending sponsored products in ChatGPT replies. So, this was released by The Information. OpenAI's ads push starts taking shape. So basically, executives have kept a tight lid on how the company could show advertisements and users of popular ChatGPT chatbot. And it's kind of frustrating, but it makes sense. If you look at it, they ballooned up to 900 million weekly active users since 2022. And they're expected to grow to 2.6 billion weekly active users by 2030. So they're just leaving so much fiat dollars on the table at this point. Yeah. What do you think about that? And right now, if you read the whole article, they're talking about how they're figuring out ways to, like, when to show an ad and when not to show an ad. If you're looking up, like, what's the best place to eat in Austin, then it would show an ad versus maybe not, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, this is kind of inevitable. If their business is not, like, customers aren't willing to pay for things, they're going to get an advertiser to pay for the customer and then show the customer ads. That's kind of how these things work. So I'm not super surprised. You would hope that, given how much, you know, if they do have extra insight and extra abilities, that they can provide better ads than you get in something like search results or Microsoft's operating system. Maybe more targeted, and maybe, and you know, the good parts of targeting maybe serve as a benefit here.
It almost makes you be a little bit worrisome, because you start playing this out, like you start playing the tape out a little bit further. Like, do they start censoring information that is, like, do you stop being referenced as, like, right now they're leveraging Stacker News and all its ability to, like, all the alpha that you have on Stacker News, right? They're leveraging, I don't know if you know this, but, like, if you go in ChatGPT, mm-hmm. they'll reference Stacker News for posts or whatever. Mm-hmm. But at some point, you could see them say, hey, Keon, we're not going to use your information anymore because we already grabbed it, and we're not going to put your little icon on there anymore. You got to pay us for that.
I wouldn't pay them,
but it goes to that being a possibility at some point, because at some point they're just going to take all the information that they have from you. They're going to then make their own kind of like slop of it, and then reinject it back as and calling it their own.
That kind of sucks, and that's kind of crappy, but
that's what I'm saying. This is where I feel like it's going to go.
Yeah, I think that's a fair direction that it'll go in. I think another direction it'll go in is maybe they're giving you the third best place to get a taco in Austin, because the third best place to get a taco in Austin paid them to say so, that they're the best place. And so I think that's more so the direction it goes in, is they start biasing their answers towards where they get money from. Kind of like how Google search results kind of don't represent, you know, the best locations to find certain things on the internet anymore, because they have incentives that pull them another way. And
so if you keep playing that tape out, then what's the solution to that? Is the solution a private LL or a private chatbot that we personally host ourselves? Or is it one that is, what's the solution there? Is it one that we self-host or?
Yeah, self-hosting could be a solution, because you're paying for everything. Another is using a provider that doesn't do advertising, so where you would have to pay them. Basically, what you're looking for is a way to use an LLM and get all the power of an LLM within a system that doesn't have incentives to do this to you. Because, like, even if OpenAI has the best intentions, at some point they're not going to be able to make any more money until they do some of these gross things. At some point they can't grow that 10% a year because they've already saturated the market. And that's kind of what you saw with Google. They were not evil until they ran out of ways to make money.
There's a ceiling.
And then, and then eventually if we're a little evil, we can make the, you know, report our earnings this year and get the stock price going to increase. And then they get more evil and more, and it's just kind of like the incentives lead you in a bad place. So there's a, private LLMs are another way maybe. I suspect a lot of those will still have ads in them, but maybe they'll be less targeted and less invasive.
It'll
run on the client.
It almost seems like only private LLMs and then some sort of open source thing.
Yeah. The hope would be a lot of self-hosted stuff. Like most of your needs can be met with a self-hosted stuff, but you want to like, you want to talk to Einstein, you go to one of these cloud models.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's all the posts I think we got this week, I believe. And we're going to jump into Meta. You had the No Trust November.
Yeah, so we're running an experiment right now where we don't use trust and ranking anymore, and everything is based purely on the sats that are sacrificed into the either by zapping or boosting or down zapping. Yeah, and that's running right now. We call this No Trust November because I was teasing it in October because I thought I would get it done in November, but that didn't happen, and it happened instead now. So No Trust November and December, and yeah, I'd say it's going well-ish. We're still, you know, it's kind of coincided with the holiday, so it's a bit hard to tell exactly what the impact of it is. But it's interesting. It is a lot simpler and more obvious, and we'll see how it plays out.
The other one that you had was browser translations.
Yeah, well, we launched the new editor. I think we talked about that a few weeks ago, and it had this deficiency in it where it wouldn't allow people who were non-English speakers to translate the page or the content of posts. And so that was fixed in this. Additionally, there were some other bugs related to certain Android keyboards. I guess there's a lot of like non-Android people making Android keyboards, and they are buggy. And I guess you have to defend yourself against them. And so, yeah, we've been releasing some fixes related to that that hopefully solve those issues, but it can be kind of tricky. But that's the other meta that encapsulates both of these metas. We had the translation issue, and we have these certain Android keyboard issue. Specifically, the open source Android's open source keyboard doesn't have fixes for this in it, and so graphing other people that have derivative keyboards on that, they also had issues. But
yeah, Optimism said this is the ultimate upside of developing in public. Yes, it's hard mode compared to the safety of a private repo, but look at the undiluted awesome you get for it. Thanks for not adopting the Goog MS signal model of throwing the blueprint to a walled garden over the fence, aka virtue signal FOSS. What does he mean by walled garden over the fence?
What did he say? Walled garden over the fence.
He was praising y'all's open about the repo and stuff.
Yeah, I think I think there are like levels to open source. You can have an open, like a project that's like sort of open source in name, or you can't actually run it and no one can really contribute to it because you don't make an effort to try to get them to. You have to, it takes a lot of effort to make something easy to contribute to. So that's like one level. And I guess that's what he would probably mean for Signal. It's like unapproachable as someone who wants to contribute to it. And then you have, you know, Microsoft's and Google's that maybe don't, a lot of their stuff isn't open source. So they're just like levels to open sourceness.
Oh, interesting.
And so Ricardo chipped in, like we published that issue, and then I was getting DMs that Ricardo was working really hard on solving this problem, which we had no idea what the cause was until he figured it out. And we actually couldn't find from other people experiencing similar issues, they had no solution for it. Because we're using a fairly popular like core thing component here from Facebook, and the Facebook engineers are like, we don't know what to do. So they hadn't solved the problem, but Ricardo was like, oh, this is just like a race condition. And like, if you have a very powerful phone and you're typing on one of these keyboards, it is not properly guarded against race conditions, and it'll end up sending you a bunch of conflicting events, and so you just have to like silence it. So that's what he did, and he found the solution pretty fast. And
so it's just like some dumb thing that has never been accounted for, never been documented.
Well, it's well known these issues exist, but they just continue because Google doesn't care. They're not, most people who are using Google's operating system aren't using these keyboards, and so they don't care.
Then you had this one, fix for Android keyboards. Is this the same thing related to that 4 hours ago?
Yeah, that was today. We we've submitted some of those, or we deployed some of those fixes to those Android keyboards finally.
Oh, awesome. Cool. And then people got paid. People got paid sats.
Yeah.
For their work.
So that was we have like levels to bounties on our open source contributions. And that one was urgent and hard. And so that was a 3 million sat bounty on
that. Damn. Dang. Pays to work on Stacker News. And then the other thing I wanted to share was we released the SNL DVD on Christmas Day. You can find it on Fountain. And it's there. Look at us. Young, unabashed Bitcoiners in 2021. Goob. Or no, 2022. Goob. But yeah, check it out. It's on Fountain. It's a bonus.
Cool. You have to be a subscriber, eh?
No, it's free.
Oh, okay.
It's free. I mean, I dropped it 2 days earlier for our subscribers. But if you're, but every time we do that, we always drop it for free just later. You know?
Awesome. Yeah. Yep. It's fun. We watched it.
No, you got to get the DVD for that one. That one's too.
Yeah, we go a little.
We go hard, bro.
There was maybe a half an hour.
I was drunk.
Yeah, there was a half an hour of what?
You can't hold me to that.
I don't even remember what we were talking. It was like something about like.
We're going dark, bro.
Okay.
Yeah, you gotta buy the DVD for that because Cargo's really dark. And Coop tries to stop me, but you gotta get the DVD.
Oh yeah, I remember that week. It was a hard week.
I was
stressed out.
I was stressed out. And then we were moving.
Yeah.
No F's given that week. Let it rip on that one. But anyways, but the regular thing, you can view it online. For free and enjoy it. It was fun. I definitely like when we were watching, I definitely enjoyed it because it was like blast from the past and kind of seeing what we were right about and what we were wrong about. Anyways, always cool to see. So that's that one. And then the other one was, I think that's it. I want to share the YouTube comments real quick. This is from Vake. He said, stay in Lomain. That was from the health location thing. And then this other guy says, because products produced by monopolies, they are thoughtless pieces of trash. See, Coop, people are still commenting on that Gen Z thing, the retro thing.
Oh, that's when that's from. Okay.
That's when that one's on. Yeah.
Oh, Vake's late. Yeah. He's not been keeping up with us.
Yeah. I think he's a busy guy. He's probably been at the bar, you know.
Pounding. Maybe he's on the slow lane, the lane he's staying on.
He's in the rice noodle lane. Stay in the rice noodle lane.
Oh.
And then we got found comments. One from Boog said, Zap. Undisciplined said, Squatters rights would make a great rabbit hole. And then this other user said, stay in your lane. Yeah. So, yeah. Pretty cool stuff. Check out the Stacker Sports podcast because they're doing their yearly I know Super Bowl's coming or the NFL playoffs are coming up, but they're also the fantasy sports stuff is ending.
Are you gonna play along?
No, I didn't make the playoff. Like I couldn't log in. I'm opting, guys, if you're listening to this, Undisciplined, I'm opting that we do something a little bit easier, like NFL.com, or because they use like a totally like a really hard platform.
What do they use?
I don't know. It was some weird platform I never heard of. To like,
do I think Gray Ruby has been working on his own platform.
Oh, that's even better. Yeah, let's do something like that because it was rough.
Oh, it's like a fantasy sports.
It was a fantasy sports thing, but platform. It was like weird. It was and I couldn't find the password anymore, and I was just like, okay, I'm out. Real Bitcoin Dog, he's been trying to do mine, but I don't know if he's been successful. I don't know. I haven't been following.
Okay, so you're interested in playing? Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm playing on my regular. I have my regular. My regular with my normie friends fantasy football league, and I actually made the Super Bowl in this one, believe it or not. Yeah, check this out.
How do you keep up with all the game? How many games do you watch a week?
See, boys, this is what Carr could bring if it was a little bit simpler to. See, look at that. Verify that.
Are you ranked? Wow, it says that he is 7.6, is that good?
No, that's on the right. That's my friend Daniel.
That's your friend. So what would I say?
I'm on the left side.
Okay, so
I'm in the Super Bowl. See if Fantasy Super Bowl.
Yeah, it says Fantasy Super Bowl 114.22 is the number. Is that good?
It's very good.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying. Yeah.
Well,
let's fix it for next year, boys. Let's do it. Let's jump into Top Cowboys. Keon, Top Cowboys, the most popular segment in Bitcoin. People stomp everything and just, I mean, people came in from out of town just to come watch this segment.
Yeah, people flew in this week.
It's crazy.
Watch this segment.
Where are you guys from?
New Mexico
and where?
Boston.
Wow. Ooh. You hear that, Stackers? New Mexico and Boston, just to watch the most popular segment in Bitcoin, the Cowboys segment.
The Top Cowboys.
Top Cowboys. Yeah. Can you believe it? This
all
is crazy.
The United States.
All over the United States.
Yeah.
Number one is hiding. We don't know who that is. Number two is Coob. Number three is Undisciplined. Number four is Blockchain Boog. Gray Ruby. We're all Satoshi. I don't think anything's changed here.
No, I think pretty stable, at least in the top 10, as it usually, well, top 15 maybe.
Yeah.
Real I don't think I've seen any real movement.
Solomon Satoshi's coming up, 21. Elvis Mercury, CLR. Do you guys use Stacker News?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Y'all are Stackers. Oh, wow. Okay, cool. All right. We'll have to. So they're Stackers, Stackers.
I don't want
to. Are you guys, them. You don't have to dox yourselves.
I know.
Are you on this list? Oh, he just doxed himself. I didn't tell him. This is crazy.
Where's Needs Creations in here then?
Let me see. Is he a cowboy on here? Well, he runs a Christianity territory, which is cool. Yeah. But I'm trying to find the.
I was just explaining the territory. So
where's the. Yeah, I don't see him on here.
Ah.
Yeah. See, this is where you gotta let people buy their cowboy hat, Keon.
No, but then that makes
he
it.
He would.
You don't have a cowboy
hat. Would you buy a cowboy?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
Would you buy a cowboy hat if you could on Stacker News? I think I would. See, told you.
Boom. Yeah, but I don't. That messes with
store.
This segment wouldn't be.
Doesn't matter.
You can't. E2C sessions wouldn't be
two lists
trying to shut us down. Oh yeah, maybe you can get a special hat.
Yeah. Anyways,
yeah, no. I hate it when you can pay for things in a game when you can like level up by paying. Pay to win.
How many days to
it? Yeah, that doesn't sound great.
3 days. Boom. I have 3 days. That's good.
Wow, car.
Coming up. That's all I got here. Let's go back there to this one. And where is it at? Go back here. Do we have any comments down here? Oh, we do. Blockchain Boots said Wimble's picks. Plutplut says, I'm late, but I do have an SN Zine post. Whoa, boom.
Wow, from the hospital.
She from the hospital?
No, she's sick, though.
But. Oh, look, she even made a video. Get your zine here. What does that say? Oh, yeah.
Ah,
yeah.
That's cool. Yeah, the fat stack. You can get the fat stack of zines.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, that's a lot of zines, dude.
It's all the zines. And little.
What is on the outside?
It's like a cork thing. She like made the cover herself.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It's pretty swell. Huh?
No, we're talking about these zines here.
Yeah.
Did you guys grab a zine up there?
Yeah.
Did you see the stack of
zines?
We
got some zines, but.
Is it Stacy who makes
those? Oh, Pleb Poet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, Satsy's. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's for Pleb Poet. Yeah,
crazy.
Who's Austin, Plebdev's wife?
There we go. Boom. Check it out. The ultimate Christmas collection. Get it now while supplies last. Yeah.
Well, we could print more. We're basically the Jerome Powell of Stacker News themes.
I think that's everything.
Pleb Poet is. But I don't think we've ever had a female Fed chair. Maybe we have.
Yeah. What's her name? Was a female Fed chair.
No, she was a treasury.
Oh, she was a treasury. That's right.
Yeah.
Cool. That's all we got this week. Keon, what are you doing this weekend?
Gosh, that's a great question. You know, I always imagine that I might have something fun I'm doing, but then when you ask me, it reminds me that I'm not going to do anything. So I don't have anything I'm going to do.
Oh, that sucks.
It doesn't really necessarily suck. I enjoy not doing things, so that's probably what I'll do.
I'm putting together my top 10 movie list this weekend probably. I got to watch one more movie. Actually, two more movies this weekend to put it together. And then I got some work to get done. And then I got to win the Super Bowl on my fantasy. And then, yeah, I think that's it. But, yeah, it's going to be a fun weekend.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it.
Sounds like you have stuff to do.
Tons of stuff to do.
I wish I had
stuff. What are you guys doing this weekend? Need Creations?
Honestly, we're pretty open. I know there's like a poker tournament tonight I heard about.
Oh. Oh, I didn't hear about that. No. Oh, wow. Yeah, we're not cool, so we don't get invited to these things. Oh, wow.
Oh.
Yeah. I didn't know this.
Oh.
Yeah, we're not cool enough.
Is it a Bitcoin incubator?
Yeah.
Oh.
But yeah. I think they're
Web5 friendly. Oh. I don't think anyone knows.
I've never heard of them.
So it's, yeah, popular. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay.
Grab some barbecue. Like, we're.
Oh, cool.
You guys want to get some food after this? Like,
wow.
Let us know where to go.
Dang. Okay. It's amazing.
Wow.
Sounds like they have a lot of cool stuff they're doing.
Yeah. Sounds like there's stuff to do in Austin, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see. There's a Bitcoin walk out of San Antonio as well in Austin.
Wow. Like, that's amazing.
Just out of nature.
Oh. Touch grass. That's really cool. With other Bitcoiners.
All right. Well, Snackers, we're going to go hang out with some people that stopped by. Keon's probably going to go back to work. And
yeah, all right.
And we'll see you next time.
Coop. Zap.